everybody. Welcome to the TMT Podcast, where fall is always in season. This is episode 8. I'm David, and with me as always is my fellow host, Jamie.
That's this one.
Why don't you? You just threw me off my groove. And,
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to accept the groove.
You threw me off my groove. Sorry.
You're gonna be a llama.
Yeah. So, earlier, right before we just started a podcast, this is the thing I did that I said, what on earth was I doing? I found a bit of chocolate on one of my fingers, so I licked it off, and I saw more on my other finger, except the second part wasn't chocolate. It was a scab I just got today. So I licked it.
Okay.
So I licked it, and it was just like, oops. It tasted kind of salty.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, obviously, because, you know, there's a lot of salt in blood.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Basically, anything that comes out of you is salty.
Does this mean I'm going to be a vampire now? I've devoured my own blood?
No, it has to be other blood.
Maybe vampire... Imagine if there's a vampire who could live on his own blood.
Probably is. It's just like... He's just, like, sucking his wrist all day long. They're like, stop doing that. Go feed. I am. They're like, it doesn't count. You're drinking your own blood. You're not filling yourself up.
Yeah, it's not.
It works.
It's not proper blood. All right, this sounds like a character I need right now, actually. This is, no one else can have this idea. This is mine now.
He's just constantly, you know, like, babies suck their thumbs. Yes. He's just constantly sucking his wrist. It was like that scene in Logan where X-23 just keeps slitting her wrist to watch her test her regrowth.
Wait.
That was a cool scene.
I don't remember that.
It's like in the bit where they're showing all the video.
Oh.
Where the nurse is filming stuff. X-23 is just like, they're sitting in a room, I guess, and she just keeps slitting her wrist.
Oh, I remember that. I didn't think of that as testing her ability. I thought of this as her being depressed. I like your idea better, though, because it's less sad.
I reckon it was that, and also her building up her resistance to pain.
Yeah.
Because the thing with Wolverine is he feels pain. Like, he's said multiple times, every time the claws come out, it hurts, but he just gets used to it. So I imagine that's what she was doing.
Yeah. Well, plus Wolverine will get into fights just to get hurt anyway, because he's Wolverine. But, you know who doesn't like getting into fights to get hurt?
Many people, probably.
Yeah, including people who ride on airplanes.
Oh, dear.
That was a big thing this week.
That is the most absurd thing I ever saw. I saw that video.
They should have solved that problem before they let everyone on the plane.
Or, all right, let's go back. Let's basically go through the story a little bit.
Okay.
So, the American airline United had a flight that was fully booked. People keep using the term overbooked. It wasn't overbooked. It was fully booked out.
And then they wanted to add their own employees on it. Yeah.
And then they had 4 employees that they wanted to put on this plane. So they said, hey, 4 people need to get off this plane so our employees can fly out. Who will come out?
Yeah.
Who will volunteer to do it?
First they offered them $400, and then they offered them $800. And everyone was like, nah, man, that ain't cool. Because usually what happens then is they give you vouchers with blackout dates. So you never really get what you want.
Yeah, I read online you're always meant to accept money. You're always meant to say, I'll take money and not a voucher, because they could screw you with the voucher.
Oh, yeah, and they will.
So, eventually, it got to the point where everyone said no. And you'd think, in that case, where they'd be like, okay, everyone who's paid to be on here doesn't want to leave. We'll have to find out another way to get these employees to this other airport.
Or they could have just increased the price more.
Or they could have done that, or they could have...
There's a lot of things they could have done. Yeah.
I've seen a thing where people have said, why didn't they just pay to have these 4 employees go on a different airline?
The entire situation is badly handled by them. There was a lot of things they should have done that they just did not do.
So it came to the point where they randomly picked 4 people to leave the airplane. So basically they went up to 4 different people and said, hey, we've decided you have to get off.
You've been volunteered.
Yep. And they went to this one guy, who I believe was a 69...
He was 69 an older...
year old.
He was an older guy who was also a doctor.
Also a doctor. They said, you have to get off. He said, I need to get home. I'm a doctor. I've got patients that I need to help in the morning. You actually think, okay, that's kind of reasonable. It's understandable. They decided to get airport security, I guess.
Yep.
People, or airport police or something like that.
They're airport police where they work for the police department in Chicago. Which shouldn't surprise anybody, because in Chicago, everyone's violent.
So, three big men,
mm-hmm.
go onto this plane, and this is when, like, literally every single person's putting up their iPhone and filming.
Yep.
Which, I think, in this circumstance, is good, because it means stuff like this gets discovered and seen.
I'm for police having body cams.
All that kind of stuff, like that, dash cams. Like, there needs to be no way that this stuff like this can happen in the darkness. Like, you need this to be seen. It needs visibility. Yeah. So, these three men crowding around this guy. It's an airplane, there's like a small... I think it's like two seats, so it's the aisle, and then there's two more seats. Quite narrow, as a plane is.
It was one of the smaller planes, yeah.
And there's quite a few passengers saying, like, what are you doing? Don't do this. And then you hear some screaming from the doctor. And then... literally, they're just like pulling at him. Like, I believe, like, his feet are in the air at some one point.
They slammed his head into the armrest and then dragged him down the aisle by his feet.
Yep. They pull him out. They pull him out of the chair. And at this point, like, he's just limp. Like, he's gone unconscious or something. It seems. And you just see his face is all bloody. And they're just dragging him. They're just, like, just dragging him. Like, he doesn't matter to them. Like, he's just an obstacle, like, he's just saying they need to get out of the way. Everyone there is, like, objecting, saying, this is awful, what are you doing? And then they took him off the plane. And then, a certain amount of time later, he was back on the plane, covered in blood, and just wishing he was dead. And then he's...
It was like just a video of him like running. It was the worst way to handle the situation.
Yeah, I mean,
it could not have been handled more poorly.
I mean, like, in a sense, like, even like an innocent person of any kind should never be treated like that. And I'd almost say that's too far to treat a criminal. Like, there's a point where he's. It's just like, literally all he said was he just said, I don't want to get off this plane that I've paid to
He never acted hostilely to deserve that treatment.
No. He basically just sat there, refused to move, so these three big men hit him and just dragged him off a plane.
And yeah, it was a very crap situation.
That was kind of it. I don't really know what the story is there with the guy, but I believe he was allowed to stay on the plane after that or something. There's not really much of a story there, but
after
then,
all of that, they just left him on the...
Yeah. And then the CEO of United Airlines first responded to all the videos.
Talk about a guy who was out of touch with technology there.
So he responded with just talking about how overcrowding, overbooking in planes and customer, moving customers and stuff like that's a thing that happens, but he's going to look into it and stuff like that. Almost like he was completely oblivious to the fact that a guy got beaten. It seems to just
honestly, Jamie, he probably was. CEOs make so much money and do such insignificant things.
And then like 2 days, and I think like a day later or something, he made a different statement where he actually started acknowledging the fact that there was such an aggressive act of violence carried out. I believe Chicago Police Department acknowledged that that was handled badly, and I think one of the officers involved was immediately taken off or like put on leave or something.
No, they were all put on suspension.
Okay, they all were, okay. But
They're put on suspension, but that doesn't mean they're fired. Chances are they'll go back to their jobs.
Chances are they'll just wait until it all blows over and then just sneak the guys back on duty, doing the exact same thing again and again.
That's Chicago for you.
Yeah. Well, that's just kind of it. That's just a completely awful situation that should never happen on something like that. Like, people take planes all the time. I'm sure a lot of times planes are fully booked or even overbooked in some cases. But, like, just the fact that for some reason this was going on, and, like, those three officers there, and probably, like, I imagine, like, people on the plane, like, you know, people who work for the airline, all were thinking, this is how this situation needs to be handled. Like, the fact that people
made a decision that this is what they should do.
Yeah. The fact that there was, probably a small number of people, I imagine. I don't imagine many people were agreeing with the situation and going, this is a good thing. But a certain amount of people put their heads together, had a problem with the plane being overcrowded. And their solution was, let's get police officers to beat and drag this guy off the plane.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago's crazy.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of people are blaming the airline and all that. And that's a good... And yeah, I guess they're to blame. But I want, like, the people directly involved in this situation to get more blame. Like those three officers, they've been, like, suspended. But that's all that's happened to them. What about the people who are actually, like, on the airline? Like, whoever came up with that idea, whoever was deciding all this stuff? Why aren't those people, like, getting, like, in trouble themselves?
Because no one knows their name, and the airline will protect it.
Protect it, and then those people will be free to do the exact same, their job again and again, knowing in their heads that they don't know the first thing about dealing with certain situations.
Yep.
It makes you question what kind of training these people get.
Probably not much.
Oof.
So, Jamie, you still want to come to America?
I'd probably take a boat.
Well, on a lighter note, I do have another story I want to tell you. I ripped my pants today. Right, so, set up for this is...
You've done a few things today.
I have a family member who's kind of weak, so they need to be carried.
Okay.
So, I was doing the carrying, which is it's not a problem. But today I was wearing suit pants. And I don't know if you know this about suit pants, but they were designed to prevent movement. Like, the reason a suit jacket feels so stiff on you is that they're designed to prevent you from getting into a fight. That's why men started wearing suits, so they'd stop fighting.
Well, it's also so they don't crease and stuff, isn't it?
And so...
Like, they're very smooth.
No, that's something different. No, the suit jackets designed themselves are to stop people from fighting.
But, that's why they always take them off in movies.
Yep. But, so I was carrying somebody, and I had taken my jacket off, but when I went to set him down, I was still wearing suit pants, and so right when I set him down, there was this loud pop. Like, it wasn't a rip, it was a pop, and my pants just split open along the seam.
So it was a pop, as in the whole lot came undone at the same time, so like a rip where like it just slowly got bigger. So like just a whole part of it just exploded at once, basically.
Yeah, it was immediately. Yes. Like all of a sudden I now have a 4-inch gap in my suit pants.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's what I did this week.
You must Hulk out.
Yeah.
But
Roid Rage, man, it's all the craze.
Roid Rage. But speaking of Hulking out, Thor Ragnarok trailer came out this week.
Yeah, and we got Thor in it.
We got Thor, we got... See, the problem with trailers like this one, because this is a teaser, so this is like the first of what, like, three or four trailers that they have. But it feels like it was just a whole bunch of spoilers. But I don't know if they're necessarily spoilers.
That's the thing, just
things that happened early on.
That's the thing, is it looked like a lot of the film happened early on, judging by Thor's hair.
That is a good point.
So I feel like that wasn't necessarily a spoiler, but it seemed questionable after consideration. I found that there were not that many spoilers in there. I feel like it did good job building hype. It looks like it's going to have a different tone than the other Thor movies as well. Yep. Judging by the dialogue, how it was cut, and the choice for music as well. Way different than Thor and Thor Dark World. It also has more of a Guardians feel with Thor.
Well, it does a good job with that, because Guardians deals with, like space and planets and that kind of thing. But previous Thor movies has been confined to, like, the Nine Realms, which is a lot more
a very small part of space. Mystical
kind of thing. So it's, all more ancient and all that kind of stuff.
It's a different part of space.
Different style. So this is, like, Thor going out into, like, the crazy parts with the colours and the different aliens all hanging out.
Yeah. Stuff's going on.
And it works, because it's... In my idea, it's just a funny scenario to have basically Thor plopped down in the middle of, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy set.
I wonder if he's going to fall right into the Guardians, actually. Maybe that'll be their tie-in to the Infinity War, is Thor.
Maybe. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy will have a post-credit scene with Thor or something.
Or, they'll be in the Thor movie, because that one comes out... you're right. The other one comes out first.
Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians comes out first. I got confused.
End of this month, beginning of next month. It's really close.
Yeah. May 5th, which is Cinco de Mayo.
Yep.
So wear a Mexican hat when you go to see Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody. Do it.
Just have some of those... what are they called? Like a little cluster nets or whatever. Just click them around every time a song comes on. There's one guy sitting there, he's like, why is it every time a song comes on, everyone starts dancing around their hats? Pick up your hats. Stop dancing.
Honestly, I never even think about that over here, is people dancing around their hats. That's not a joke you hear about in the US that much.
Probably not these days, no.
Even when it's discussing Cinco de Mayo, usually it's just people making fun of the word itself, Cinco de Mayo, because it's a fun word to say.
Yeah, it sounds fun and jolly.
It sounds fun and jolly. Oh, yes, very so.
Just like the word Ragnarok.
Oh, I'm glad you agree.
I just like the idea that Ragnarok's like a very... it means apocalypse or something like that, or the end.
It literally means apocalypse in Norse, yes.
So it's a very, negative word in a way.
Yeah.
But it's, attached to a very colourful, fun-looking movie. But even though there's that, I still feel like there's going to be those pure moments of, devastation and sadness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the trailer, it looks like Asgard's done.
Yep. I feel like... The way the teaser showed off all those big moments, the thing that happens at first way on what looks to be Earth, and then Asgard, and then eventually the Colosseum. I reckon that's the order the movie's going to kind of go.
Probably, although I think the part you're thinking about when it was on Earth is actually on Asgard as well. I have a feeling that Ragnarok is what was happening while Civil War was going on, and why Thor wasn't there.
Well, the thing is, Thor's going to have to go on Earth at some point because he meets Doctor Strange.
Yes, but I think the movie takes him there at later, because his hammer's already lost by then.
True.
It would probably be already lost. Yeah, but you know, we'll find out when we watch it.
I wonder if by the end of the movie he's going to get back the traditional Thor stuff, his hair's going to grow back, he's going to have his hammer back.
His hammer gives him magic hair. That's where his golden locks come from. It's from Mjolnir.
He'll get the hammer, you'll rain it in the sky, and his traditional armor will show up, his hair will come in.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, when he got his armor in the first Avengers movie, and, like, that added in with him growing his hair back out.
There'll be, like, a slow-mo shot of, like, the little individual hairs popping out of his face and, like, growing. And, like, he'll just get ready and he'll just go crazy. He'll be like, wow.
That sounds pretty good. I did like the
Gladiator 4 look that was at the end of the teaser. Yeah.
Well, that helmet he was wearing in the arena paint, was
in the armor.
And the helmet he was wearing. I tried four times to get that out. The helmet he was wearing is the shape of the helmet he used to wear in the comics. I kept trying to say that, and he just ignored it.
He also wore that helmet for like a single 10 seconds in the first four movie.
Well, his helmets always look kind of dorky. Which is,
quite sad. Yeah. Although I do like the one they gave him in this. It's very got like a it's very gladiator look.
It's also very.
I imagine he's only going to wear it for that gladiator scene, though.
Oh yeah, he's going to take it off. But there was another trailer for something that came out.
So, also presumably, yeah, there was a. Oh yeah, yeah, like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So this week has been like the 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Really? I didn't know that.
Which is that a is crazy cool. thing to be celebrating.
Yeah, it is. That's older than you and me. Well, that's this week's almost been, older than you and me put together.
This week's been the. This week has been a Star Wars celebration, which is basically a Star Wars convention with like stars from the movies and the TV shows and anything Star Wars all in one place. And they just talk and they show stuff. It's really kind of cool. And then they showed the first trailer for Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Which now everyone else has seen as well. And, like any Star Wars movie,
it
looks like
that, Dave.
I was just thinking about it. It doesn't really tell you much. It's more of an announcement trailer, which I'm fine with. But you know, I always do what I say. Anything I did with Force Awakens, ignore everything on the internet until I have a chance to see a movie myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I did take notice that it mostly focused on that island that Luke was on at the end of the previous movie in most of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to be like the first part of the movie or if that's going to be layered between the rest of the movie, like similar to the whole episode 5 where it's like the gang doing their stuff and then Luke and Yoda doing their stuff. I wonder if it's going to be going side by side or...
I think we'll find out. Like I said, I'm not going to read too much into anything. I'm just going to let myself find out.
Yep. That's a good point. I thought it was a good little teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was actually more excited about than that even was, the Star Wars Battlefront 2 trailer that showed out, which, it looks to already be fixing everything that was wrong with the first one. There's a campaign mode now from the Empire's point of view, which is great. And you can also play as people from all three eras, from the originals, the prequels, and the new era.
Yeah, I don't... With the previous Battlefront game, I don't know if they tried... Why they tried to, like, ground it in one era, when, like... Like, they could just easily just go crazy and just be like, yeah, this doesn't take place, this isn't canon at all, like, which it wouldn't be.
Well, they could have gone back to the prequels anyway, like they did in the... Well, in the original Battlefront, it had the prequels and the originals. I don't know why they didn't do that. That was what people were mostly unhappy about. They wanted to play as the original clone troopers against the battle droids.
Yep. Or you know, versus the Gungans.
Yeah, I would kill so many Gungans.
So would everyone. Everyone would do that. But yeah, they showed off Yoda, they showed Darth Maul, both characters missing from the previous one.
Yep, Yoda, I'm actually surprised about.
I'm actually surprised they didn't have Yoda in the previous Battlefront.
I think a lot of people were surprised at their hero choices in Battlefront 1, including characters like Greedo. And who could forget Lando Calrissian's pilot in Episode 6. Man, I've been waiting to play as that guy for years.
Lean up. I heard he only just beat out being able to play as Admiral Ackbar.
Did they put Chewbacca in the game?
Yes, but I believe he came after Neenub. Oh no he didn't.
Which is just
I think
stopped playing by that point. I was just disappointed. I was disappointed when they said Greedo. I was like, I'm not supporting this.
I think there's 4 sets of DLC. You get it was Lando, Chewbacca, Neenob, and then Rey.
You know what I'm hoping will be in Battlefront 2 that wasn't in 1 but was in the original series? Space battles.
There were space battles in this game. Oh, no, there wasn't.
There was not. There was just
aerial battles.
Yeah, which they were fun. They were my favorite part of Battlefront, but they're not the same thing. It's not the same.
What the Star Wars Battlefront needs is you need to be, like, in a spaceship, and then you just run into a little ship, go flying out into space, and then go onto the enemy spaceship and start attacking there. Like,
yes, that would be cool.
And then you could also, like, land on the planet and fight the planet, too. So it's just, like... You know what it needs? The final battle from Rogue One. All of that. So you've got the ground troops, you've got the air troops, you've got, like...
You could do that on
the shield generator.
Imagine doing that on Endor. Or on Hoth, even. There's so many places you could do that. It'd be so great.
Was Hoth didn't really have a space battle, did it?
They just
flew off, didn't they?
They had to fight the Star Destroyers and disable them to get by them, so they wouldn't be destroyed on escape.
What about the space battle that takes place at the beginning of Episode 3?
Oh, the one over Coruscant?
Yeah. That's a good action scene for the prequels.
Yeah, you know what I've always wondered about that scene though.
What?
How did General Grievous get an entire Separatist fleet to the heart of the galaxy where the Republic's supposed to be the strongest? Like, who fell asleep on guard duty that day?
I don't know. You just got to imagine he did have you'd have Palpatine just sitting there.
Oh, I imagine he had
to be locked up.
He had to have had health. But the other question I have too about that is, this is more genuine. How do you stop someone from invading you in space? Like, space is an infinite vacuum. How do you stop someone from saying, "I'm a warp here, and also I'm poof be here"?
Yep. Like space. Like you get a planet. Yeah, you get so much space around the planet. How do you guard all of that?
Yeah. Like, in a solar system, how would we guard the Earth from attackers coming in at Pluto's range? That's a lot of space to cover and watch.
Yep. Like, oh dear, they're at Pluto. Just send some people dead at Pluto. Oh, they're coming above, below, left, right, diagonal, behind us. So, every angle, like...
We're gonna die. Oh my gosh, we're gonna die.
Oh, well, I don't ever get how they're able to have like the precision where there's two people flying in space and they're flying at the exact same angle and like align each other.
Flight computers.
Okay. Because if that was me, there'd be like the main guy like going, you know, he's leveled out, he's flying in a certain direction. Then there'd be me at like a 56 degree angle.
Pilots
pointing northeast, west, duck down, everything's like nowhere near straight.
Well, yeah, pilots can already do that today with the assistance of flight computers. They help you kind of toggle in where you need to be. Also, it takes a lot of practice. Not everyone can be a pilot.
But yeah, so they announced Star Wars Battlefront 2, and they announced the release date of November.
Yep. There's something else coming out in November that I remember.
A few things, I'd imagine.
Probably.
I don't know. I think we're still a little bit away from game releases.
Yeah. Oh, E3's. They did release the Jackbox 3 for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Which, you know, is going to make it even more fun to travel with now. Because now you can have people playing Jackbox.
Well, the thing with Jackbox as well is, like, it's basically just phones, and that's just, like, the hub.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be so easy to play. You can literally go on a plane and just say to people, anyone who wants to play this in the area, just use this code.
Unless you're a doctor, in which case we're going to beat you up.
And some guy's just like, I would like to use my phone, but I think that guy's going to beat me if I do. One guy reaches for his phone and just gets grabbed by the throat. Have you seen the amount of memes dedicated to that?
I do know some of them. I think one of my favorite one is from someone used it from Dark Knight Rises. It's a guy talking to him. Perhaps he's wondering why you would throw a man off the plane after you let him on. Is getting volunteered part of your plan? It is. All right. So what's next? Reaccommodating your plane with no survivors.
God damn it, Ben. My favorite is that scene from Airplane where every single person takes in turns to shake that one woman who's freaking out.
Oh yeah.
It's just like there's United another part Customer from Airplane Service.
Too. I saw. It's like United Airlines Customer Service of the woman talking to people as they left the plane, like, F you too, I hate your child. It's like an insult for every one of them with a smile as they walk off.
Do you think now would be a good time for them to not remake Airplane, but do a newer Airplane?
You can't replace Leslie Nelson. Like, he made that movie. Like, it was a good movie, but without him, it wouldn't have been as good. You need to have him in it, and I feel like the time has passed.
Yeah. I feel like they should just make that, like, a series kind of thing. Like, not necessarily all dedicated around Airplanes, but just different circumstances, different people, or the same actors being different, like different characters, kind of, and it shouldn't be just, like a franchise of just, like, comedy parodies in just different locations.
Oh, in that case, Jamie, you need to watch Naked Gun.
Oh, is that what that is?
Naked Gun is Leslie Nielsen as a cop.
Okay.
It's one of the funnier things on the face of the planet. Like, one of their favorite jokes to do is someone tells them, walk this way, and the guy will walk through the door, and Leslie Nielsen walks around the door.
Oh, I've seen that. Is that the movies with the full body condoms?
I can't remember.
Always see that thing of like two people in full body condoms just embracing.
I don't think so. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I watched it. Maybe on a different. I don't know. But it's maybe such it's a good movie. You should watch it. If you enjoy Airplane, you'd enjoy that.
I enjoy a good parody. And sadly, we haven't got them in a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I would even say that the first Scary Movie was okay enough to pass. After that, they went crap.
Humor movies haven't been good in a long time. You know who still makes the best humor movies anymore? Disney.
Really?
Yeah, Disney's movies are the only time I still laugh at a movie. Like some of the jokes in Zootopia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It is nice when you just watch a Disney movie and it's got like that. Not necessarily like adult humor, but like the kind of thing that you're, as an grown person, you're like, oh, that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it's humor it's what it is. It doesn't have to be dirty, but it's still humor that, you know, you'll actually appreciate. I haven't gone to see a humor movie in theaters for a long time.
There's a scene in Beauty and the Beast that comes out. That's out, the live action one.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes me chuckle, and it's almost a scene exactly from the animated movie.
Yeah, fun fact. Where, like, they actually shot the live action using the same angles it would have been in the animated movie. They tried to make it as close to it as possible.
They did really good with that. There's like a scene where the wardrobe's fighting people. Oh. So she just like throws a load of clothes over these three people, and suddenly they're all wearing dresses. Two of them just run off scared, and the last one's like admiring himself. He's like, ooh.
Ooh la la. I have face. I have a dog.
It's kind of funny. You get like these three guys with pitchforks, and suddenly they're all in dresses. Two of them run off, and the other one's like checking himself out. He's like, ooh. Not bad.
That's because he's French.
Probably.
Oh, French people. But, I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to discuss. I can't remember what it was. Oh, Overwatch. Have you been playing the newest Overwatch at all? There's a new event going on.
I've played a single game. I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and found that Heather, Sam, and Zach were still playing.
Was this Friday night or Saturday morning?
Oh, this was a few days ago.
Okay, just making sure, because last I checked, we were still playing 2 or 3 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, I wish I could have made that, because...
Oh my god. We had to stop playing the PvE mode and go into a different mode, because we were starting to get, like, you know, that stress build up from having done it so many times in a row.
Yeah.
Because right now, the PvE mode, there's a new event going on Overwatch, new PvE mode, which is 10 times better than Frankenstein's Revenge. And it's also...
It's an objective-based one instead of Frankenstein's Revenge, where you're just like endless waves coming at you. You're actually moving and doing stuff. And doing tasks.
And it's actually one of the most efficient ways to get EXP right now, especially if you're new. So we just did that mode in two groups for like 3 or 4 hours straight.
Yeah, I played a single game level. I liked it. I like the fact that it's not confined to specific characters like Junkenstein was.
Oh yeah, there's two modes. There's one with a main cast, like who is supposed to be there canonically, and there's one where you can pick whoever you want.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about that is that there's achievements tied to both. Like there's achievement for playing and winning a game with every one of the original characters in the main mode. And there's also achievement for winning with 8 different heroes in the other mode.
Oh.
And then there's also achievements for beating a legendary super hard. There's one for keeping the payload from going under 80% on hard.
So the thing with this, with Overwatch, and they do achievements for these event game types.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean these game types are going to come back every year?
I don't know.
Or at least just say, if you don't get them, you're fucked, kind of thing.
Maybe it's the latter. It's a badge of honor, Jamie.
Kind of sucks, especially...
regarding some of the skins, there are some of those skins I want to make sure I get this time.
Oh, so yeah, the skins too. Like, they've just gone after a while.
These skins are really good this time, too. Like, the only one... I only have 3 left to get. And that's the... Genji, McCree, and Tracer one. I do have the others, though. Like, the Mercy was one of the first ones I got. I was so happy. And then I got her 2 more times, so I've built up money. And the event lasts until May 1st, so just play a bunch.
It's a good level event.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll get 5 free loot boxes per week playing the arcade things, and then, depending on where you are leveling-wise, you'll keep getting more stuff from that, which is pretty nice.
Yep. The thing I like about Overwatch is when they do events, they don't just do like gimmicky events. Like, yeah, we got the Christmas one, the Halloween one, but then since then we had the Chinese New Year one, which is quite unexpected because everyone was like, "Oh, Valentine's Day." Nope, they do something different.
For no their, like, ships
events.
We make our own ships.
Like, I'm much happier about the one that they've got currently than if they did, like, a weird Easter one.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, if they did, like, a Capture the Egg game type or something.
That could have been funny, like, Capture a Flag with a giant egg, give everyone a unique voice line. But I do appreciate the Uprising mode. It is still...
Yeah.
Blizzard, basically, they're doing a really great job with Overwatch. It's, like, the prime example of how to make a game that's... Release a game that's released more or less bug-free... Has good content, paid good attention to developers, and is obviously just lovingly crafted.
Yep,
and it's all around just a well-made. This is how a video game should be, or how developers should approach a game with the amount of support and love that's been poured in.
Yep. I mean, it's like I honestly find myself saying to my, honestly find myself honestly honestly feel like this is how games should go by now. Like, because, like, yeah, you get the base game and it's released, and then, like, that could be it. But I honestly do prefer games where you, like, you get the game, and then every, like, couple of weeks, and, like, all right, here's a new update, here's some new stuff. Like, there's so many games that do that thing now, do that now. Like Gears of War, they do like events every couple of weeks. They've recently done an Easter themed one where you have like Easter skins and stuff like that.
Are they wearing rabbit ears?
I believe so. Yeah, and I believe they have like chocolate lancers, like lancers that look like they're made of chocolate. But then you got that and Halo Wars 2. Like they're constantly adding new characters to that game. Players, which the most recent one I will talk about in a second.
2017 seems to be turning out into a good year for the most part for game design. I mean, you also had Breath of the Wild. I've been told Persona 5 is very well done and put together. We're getting what looks like to be what Battlefront should have been in November. And, you know, speaking also like of maybe not starting off on the right track, but definitely improving. People still love the crap on Andromeda for reasons I don't understand. I love Andromeda. But they released a massive patch that changed a lot of their animations and made them look a lot better.
Yep.
And so it may not have been the best thing when they come out. I'll admit that their animations looked funny when they come out. But they've done a lot to work on improving that.
Yeah, this is we're definitely at the period now where post-game content and like patches and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, people make fun of it. Like, you get a game and it immediately has a patch on it.
It's finally working how it's supposed to, is the thing.
But I appreciate that stuff.
I think we're finally working it. It's finally working the way it's intended is the big difference there.
Yep. Like, people complain when they put a game in that they haven't played in, like, a couple of months and it has, like, a big update and stuff like that. But I'd prefer that than to play a game with, like, a bug or, like, an issue or something like that that just can't be fixed. Like, even Nintendo, like, you've got to think of how, like, uneasy Nintendo is about certain things, like more online and stuff like that. Like, even DLC, the fact that Nintendo now does DLC is so crazy. But, like, you've just got to appreciate that kind of stuff. And, because it does make a game last longer. It does make you want to play
like
a game longer.
It looks like game development is moving in good direction after some after we had a really rough time with things like microtransactions and the like.
Yeah.
I mean, my idea of like an almost perfectly developed game is still Bloodborne. Because it's so seamlessly put together. And it's really hard to explain, but... And that's the I use Bloodborne as a standard now more than almost anything else. I mean, there are lots of games which have done wonderful innovations. But I still think that Bloodborne's the example of, like, how to make a perfectly polished game. And it seems like a lot of games are coming really close to that standard nowadays. Overwatch just continues to get better all the time. Yep. We've already mentioned how much you and I love Breath of the Wild to the audience a million times over.
Yep. I actually paid for the season pass this week.
Oh, for Zelda?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, all you get at the moment is a couple of chests with, like, random items and that Nintendo Switch. You get a Nintendo Switch t-shirt that Link can wear.
That's funny.
But later on, there's, like, actual stuff coming out.
There's actual like, expansions and things.
It's, like, dungeons, expansions to the world, new, I think you get, like, new functions, like, that Link can do and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff to do.
I had a question for you. When did people stop using the word expansion?
Stop using it? I don't know. I feel like The Division used that word a lot.
Because, like, you know what I meant, like, an original expansion. Like, it was this gigantic thing thrown out there. I mean, technically it's DLC, but it was, like, this huge, gigantic extra area added to a game or so. Like, Morrowind had a whole other island added to it. Oblivion had another Realm of Madness added to it. Elder Scrolls is a good example whenever you talk about expansions. But... what happened to those? Like, did they just change because it's an efficient form of DLC or something?
I don't know.
Because I haven't seen, like, a specific expansion. It usually just comes in smaller DLC packages.
Yeah. I almost feel like DLC should kind of be ignored, because DLC is like, it's like downloadable content, which implies you have the option to download it. But a lot of times now, these updates just happen by themselves, kind of. Like, you'll load up the game, you'll get an update, and you'll be like, oh, sweet, there's a whole new addition to the game.
I mean, that still, I think, counts as downloadable content, because you're still downloading it.
Yeah, but I feel like the word downloadable implies it's an optional.
Well, downloadable thing. Means that you download it. I mean, I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, the last game I could think of that I played that had an expansion was The Ring City and from Dark Souls 3 and the Old Hunters from Bloodborne.
Expansion packs. I think expansion implies, like, story mode additions.
You think that it's like, there's never a multiplayer expansion? I guess, no, now that I say that out loud, that makes a lot more sense to hear that way, too.
Yeah. Like I feel like an expansion to the campaign, I don't know. Because I think Call of Duty Zombies refers to most expansions.
Well, especially if it's like a whole... if you add, a whole new mode to a game type, does that count as an expansion? Or is that just, I guess it would be. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I've always wondered why that word suddenly just stops being used.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're moving away from that term. I feel like very soon we're going to start... There's going to be, a new term that's going to start being used. Mm-hmm. I think at the moment, the most definitive term I do hear is just update.
Yeah, you hear update a lot. And I wonder if it's because expansion has more significant meaning or implied meaning than update, which can mean just about anything. It's more of a language defensive use than anything.
Well, expansion implies something cosmetic or physical, while update implies anything from, bug fixes to, a character model changes to, additional content, anything like that. I feel like update's a very more broad term.
Okay.
Actually, let me check. What's it called on Xbox? Yeah, it's called updates. There's that. And you go to games and apps, you get games, you get apps, ready to install, and updates. So, I guess update's the word now.
Yep. Update's a new lingo. So update your lingo.
But, speaking of updates and stuff,
Yes?
Pokemon Go had their little Easter thing.
Oh, did they?
Nothing too fantastic. They've just, double XP and, eggs are more likely to hatch rare Pokemon.
Hmm. No.
You can get the green little eggs that, hatch very quickly, but they could hatch anything and not just specific Pokemon like before.
No, Fire Emblem Heroes had their spring thing too. They had a couple of heroes who you could get wearing Easter outfits with. They had both the ears, and then they either used magical eggs instead of tomes, or they used one who was Prince Xander had. He had a carrot lance. It was a giant carrot. And Crom had an axe with carrot parts on it. The best part, too, is, both their dialogue is, indicates that, neither of them are wearing these super colorful and pretty outfits by choice. their family forced them to do this.
Does Smite have anything Easter-related? Spring?
Smite had... I've quit playing Smite. I gave up on it.
Oh, yeah? Oh, dear.
Yes, I'm completely done with Smite because they never fixed their bugs. They still had bugs in the Morrigan release, Three Gods Later. They kept on ignoring things that players were saying, hey, this is kind of a bad idea to do. But what really was a cream of the crop was their newest way to get players to quote-unquote buy skins was to play a racing cart mode.
What?
They introduced a racing cart mode in the Smite.
Oh, God. Talk about game getting desperate for, money.
And the thing is, they're not exactly a broke company. But they keep doing these things. It's just why? So I uninstalled it, and I'm done now. Which stinks, because when I first started playing Smite, it was a great game. I played in Season 2. I played it a lot in Season 3. And season four has just been not fun.
Is it, as you've played it, have you noticed it, like, change gradually, or is it just a sudden change?
It was very gradual, yes.
Okay. So, when you first played it, was it kind of a bit more serious and a little less cartoony in ways?
In terms of art style of gameplay, I mean,
just like the costumes, the game types, the character dialogue, that kind of stuff. Or do they always have that kind of humor to it?
I think it was more fun. It's less fun now. Like, it's been kicked too many times.
Ah.
Like a dried up comedian who they're squeezing water out of.
It's like if you get a pinata and you fill it with candy and the kids hit it and then you try and stuff more candy in it and put it back up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Eventually, it's just lost its purpose.
Yeah, that's more or less what Smite has become. It's a dead horse, and it stinks because it was a fun game and it was a fun MOBA, but I guess I'm going to be installing League of Legends or, you know, just finding other things to play.
Yeah, just find a new MOBA.
Or just, you know, play other games. I've got some things to play.
Yeah, there's quite a few things out there.
Mm-hmm.
I still
play things like Bloodborne and Dark Souls, and there's also Mass Effect and Drama, there's Overwatch. Yeah. I got things.
Yeah. I uninstalled Titanfall 2 this week because I finally finished the campaign.
Oh, really? But you didn't want to keep it around for the multiplayer, is that bad?
No, it's just... Alright, this is going to sound weird, but I didn't want to invest time in getting good in the campaign, in the multiplayer.
No, that I can understand what you mean by that.
I wanted to have, like, the tick on the campaign and, like, have a good quantity of achievements. Like,
that makes sense. Something I can understand.
I feel like I've done enough. Also, there was, like, two multiplayer achievements that I got immediately. They were, like, change your skin and make a clan or something. I did those, got the achievements. So I was like, is there a reason to play the multiplayer? But I got to a point where I was happy leaving it here. Like, if Tindabar ever said, like, let's do a play date or whatever in Titanfall, I installed it a second to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm good with where I've left that game, and I'm kind of finishing up on Halo Wars 2. This week I finished off all the skulls and the optional objectives and stuff in the campaign.
There you go.
And I done a few multiplayer specific achievements, which I actually didn't think I'd attempt because I was terrified of jumping into a RTS multiplayer, but either I'm good or everyone's shit. But the only reason why I can't uninstall that at the moment is because every couple of weeks they introduce in a new leader character.
And you have to get them?
Well, they have. Every time they do that, they introduce four new achievements tied to that character.
I see. Yeah. So Jamie's never going to stop getting achievements.
Yeah. The upcoming leader is a really interesting one, which I think you might find interesting. It's a hunter who's an actual like military leader. Like,
there's a sweet blood sing to him. Is it enough to make a man sick?
Like, he's got like a black kind of suit, and he's got like these white piercing eye kind of things, and he looks like a lot smaller kind of thing. He kind of looks like the guy who'd be in charge, but it's kind of weird when you think he's made up of worms. But like, it's like apparently it's a very tactical set of worms or something. I think his backstory is like,
Is it like Worms Armageddon?
I think it was probably like he was a normal hunter, and like he showed intelligence that none of the other hunters really had. So eventually they started taking advantage of that, and suddenly he actually became a competent military leader.
Hmm.
But there's him, no. And then he's. But it's him, and then he's got a new type of troops that he can deploy, which are like basically hunters, but like double the size. They like walk on all fours, and they have shields on both hands. They just like plow through things. They're like primitive hunters, I guess. It's quite interesting because they're getting, they're like expanding on the hunters, which have been in the game since the first Halo, but they've never really had a focus like this before, which I think is kind of cool.
Now, when you talk about doubled shields, you remind me of an update of a weapon that's in the Ring City. That's just two doors, and you can hold them like shields and ram people with them.
You can hold the door.
I'll send you a link to a video someone did, a guy named Iron Pineapple, who's pretty much one of the most famous Dark Souls memers. And the way he uses the meme? Okay. It's funny. But yeah, I have a giant shield door in that game now. And that's what you made me think when you talked about hunters using bolt shields.
I like the idea of that in Dark Souls you have a door shield, and in Zelda you can have a pot lid.
Yeah.
So you should do like a picture of like that one, of like Link holding the pot lid, and then the Dark Souls guy holding the door, and you just be like, and it's just like freshman year, senior year or something.
Oh, it's not just a door though, it's two doors.
So, oh bloody hell. Gotta be a bit strong for that.
Yeah, he's a buff dude. I mean, defeating everyone else in the world takes a lot of strength.
Defeating everyone else in the world. I love that. I love that, like, that description of the guy. Hey, I'm the guy that beat everyone else. This is my door.
I beat them with these doors. I shut them on them, and they cannot come in.
He's like, I beat them, and then I stole their front door.
I am the front door.
I like the idea of him on like a stealth mission. He just, there's just an empty hallway, an empty doorway. He just pops the door down, hides behind it. Some guy goes up to him and goes, I don't remember a door being here. And he just slams it on him.
I mean,
I am the door.
I want to make a character now just called the door and give him that weapon early game so he can just run around and door people.
That's adorable.
Nice. Way to swing that. That one was left wide open for you.
No, I'm not doing this.
Jamie, no one likes my Easter joke.
Was that an Easter joke?
No, I have an Easter joke, though, and no one likes it. I thought some people did, but then Charlie told me he doesn't laugh because he likes it. He laughs because he hates me.
Why don't we close out the podcast with your Easter joke?
Yeah. It's about the fact, actually, that I don't celebrate Easter where I live.
Okay.
I celebrate Midwester.
See, I laugh because I do like you, Dave.
That's the only reason everyone else laughs. It makes me sad. The other one who's, there's one person who's genuinely found the joke funny besides me. Would you like to guess who it is?
I don't know. Who would find your jokes funny?
Wow, jeez, would you put it like that?
Who do I know that's a bit lacking in the brain department?
Hey, my jokes are funny.
That's an insult to you and whoever it turns out to be. I'm very sorry.
It's Randall.
Oh dear, you just sent me an invite to Overwatch too. Oh dear.
Yeah. Look what you did. This is your punishment.
I apologize to Randall and to the people of Easter or Midwester.
But you don't apologize to me?
I'll this is awkward. Bye.
Well, everyone, this is the end of the formation of the T-Bottom podcast, where everyone tells me my jokes aren't funny and they don't like me for them. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. I definitely did. I'm going to go home and cry now. Good night, everybody, and we will see you next season.
Your joke's funny, Dave. Just not ha-ha funny, but it's funny.